I've been noticing on the TV thing, there's a button you can push, and it gives you kind of a listing of what's on the different channels. And I notice a lot of, I guess, Halloween titles are on this time of year. And there are movies. One movie in particular comes to mind, talks about the Return of the Living Dead. And this is the time of year when you hear a lot about ghosts and ghouls and mummies and dead people coming back to life and haunting the earth, or coming back as monsters and terrorizing people, or whatever the case may be. And that's fascinating stuff. And it's very interesting. And people like that. They're entertained by that sort of thing. And I guess to a small degree, I'm entertained by some of it as well, if it's decent enough. And it makes you think of that very interesting little story, two verses really, in Matthew chapter 27. And Matthew is the only writer that tells us of this very curious incident. Some may even say that it's strange. But in the reading that Robert read for us a few moments ago, right in the middle of that reading, verse 52 and 53 of Matthew 27, Matthew says, "And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep," that is, those who have died, "were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared to many." I mean, in some of these horror movies, that's what they do. They come out of the graves and they walk around through the cities and everybody's seeing them. And I don't want you to get a misunderstanding about this passage by comparing it too much with what we see as a product of the movie industry today, because they don't line up, I can guarantee you that. I seriously doubt that these people, when they come out of the graves, were all mummified and scary looking and gooey and half rotted and whatever, walking around the street chasing after people. I just don't believe that's what happened here. It is my firm belief that these people were restored. They looked like normal people like you and I. They went into the city and would walk around, and people recognized them and knew who they were. That's what I believe. Because, as we're going to talk about in a few moments, God has a purpose for this. But again, a very strange event here. There are some critics, of course, who want to doubt what was written here. They want to try to allegorize the whole thing and say it didn't really happen. It's just a statement Matthew made to teach a lesson. Dead people weren't really coming out of the grave and walking around. But these saints were dead and in their tombs, just as Matthew said. They came out of those tombs alive, and they appeared to many in the city. Now, what happened to them afterwards? I don't know. There's a lot of speculation about what happened to them afterwards. We're not told. Some people think that maybe they just went on and lived a normal life and died naturally, as maybe Lazarus did after he was raised from the grave, or the widow's son, remember that name, that Jesus raised from the grave. What happened to him? I think probably he just went on and lived a normal life like we all do and then died again one day. Maybe that's what happened to these people. I really don't know. I seriously doubt, as some contend, that they ascended with Jesus up into heaven. I have trouble believing that when we look at the ascension passages, and we had a lesson on that not too long ago. We don't get any indication or evidence whatsoever that Jesus had many saints with him when he was ascended. But I just really don't know. I don't know where they went or what happened to them. But the fact is, they did come out of the tombs. They did come back to life. They did go into the city. They were seen by many, and there were many of them. But I do want to talk about the raising of the dead this morning in association with this very passage. Because I do think maybe there are some spiritual lessons we can learn from these couple of verses that he gives us here. In the first place, let's notice God's purpose. And let's ask this question: what was God's purpose in causing these saints to rise from the dead and to appear to many in Jerusalem? Well, again, we're not told. I do think there's an indication here in a statement in verse 54, but we're not really told. But I just can't believe God did this without a purpose. I mean, if you read through the entire Bible from the beginning to the end, One thing you're going to find out about God, among many other things, is that He's a God of purpose. When God acts, when God does something, there is a purpose behind that action. God doesn't just offhandedly and for no reason just do this and do that. Now, we may not always understand the reason God does certain things, but you can rest assured that God, who is a God of decency and who is a God of order, has a specific purpose for every single thing that He does. So what was the purpose of the resurrection of these dead saints? I think maybe it was twofold. I mean, you read what the centurion said after he saw all these events happen. He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And so these things all helped convince him that this Jesus was the Son of God. And one thing possibly that the purpose behind these dead rising maybe was to show Jesus' triumph over death. Don't want to make too much of this point. This is what one man believes. Jesus rising from the grave showed His triumph over death without question. One man said this showed that the power of death and the grave was vanquished by the death and resurrection of Christ. Maybe it helped embellish that, but it was Jesus' resurrection from the grave that conquered death. Another man went on to say, when our Lord gave up His spirit, it was not life, but death itself that died. And that's true. Jesus did conquer death for all mankind with His death. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Jesus, by His death, actually provided life, the opportunity for eternal life for everyone. Jesus conquered death with His death. But maybe there's more to the purpose here. Maybe it was to help the Jews believe that Jesus really resurrected from the dead. Maybe the purpose for these dead saints coming out of the graves and walking into the city where people surely knew and recognized them, otherwise the whole thing would be pointless. I mean, if he'd have pulled up Lot or somebody they would have never known and recognized, if they were to saw him, they could be standing right in front of him, wouldn't know it's Lot because he's been dead so many years, I never knew what he looked like in the first place, and he's walking around the city. That's not going to prove anything to me. He's just some guy I don't know walking around the city. But if my cousin Bob comes out of the grave and starts walking around, and I know him, that's going to prove some kind of point to me. So that's why I believe that these were recently dead, at least in that generation, who come out of the grave and walked around so that people could recognize who they are and possibly to prepare them for the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. It would be easier to believe that Jesus come out of the grave if you've already seen Uncle John and some other people walking around alive after they had been dead, wouldn't it? I know God works like that. You remember John the Baptist, Matthew 3, verse 3 is one verse that we could go to talk about how this fulfilled prophecy, how He come as a forerunner of Jesus to smooth the ways. What's that mean? Well, the kings generally, when they were going to travel, would send out their, I guess, a construction crew ahead of them. Then they'd go out and they'd build bridges over the water and they'd cut paths through the rough places. And by the time the king came along the bottom, behind them, he had a smooth ride. And that's kind of the analogy here. John the Baptist coming and preparing people's hearts for the coming of the Messiah so that more would believe and accept Him. That was the purpose of John the Baptist. So I know God works that way. And so it's very possible that was the purpose of these dead saints who rose from the grave. It was a strong confirmation of the resurrection of Christ, and it kind of pointed toward the resurrection of Christ. Whatever God's purpose in raising these dead saints, it is true that they would prepare people's hearts to believe that Jesus Himself had risen from the dead. And so maybe we'll never know exactly what God's purpose is, but there are some good possibilities. And so we consider, when we think about the raising of the dead here in Matthew 27, God's purpose. Number two, we'll consider God's power. His power. I remember watching an old Twilight Zone episode. There's this fellow who come to town, and he evidently had the power to raise someone from the dead. And that's pretty interesting. And that's pretty neat. Why? Because not everybody you meet has the power to raise somebody from the dead, right? Personally, I've never met anyone who can do that. I doubt you have either. Except in the spiritual sense, the day I met Jesus Christ. I know that there are people who are being resuscitated every day, aren't there? Every day. No telling how many people across the world are being resuscitated. But you don't need it flashed all over the news and a great urgent news and a wonderful news story and a man just raised a man from the dead. Pulled him out of the water and raised him from the dead. Now he resuscitated him, didn't he? What do you think about those people, by the way? Are they really dead? Do you think they really died? I wonder about that. I mean, man is able to measure a lot of things, and they measure the vitals and check for the pulse and so forth, but can they really know for sure that the spirit has left the body? I don't believe they can. And if somebody has been resuscitated, have they really been brought back from the dead? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But they're not working any type of miracle. I know that. Sometimes we think people are dead when they're not, don't we? If you do some research and reading into the matter, you'll find that back in the old days, that there was often when they'd dig up old graves, they would find claw marks inside the coffins where people would wake up because somebody thought they were dead. That's a true story. It's a true story. You ever hear of the graveyard shift? That's working all through the night, isn't it? From my understanding, that phrase came from people who would sit out in the graveyard. They used to bury people in certain places. They'd run a line down into their grave with a string and have a bell attached at the top. And if somebody woke up in their grave, they'd have that line, they'd just ring that bell. And there was always somebody on duty at the graveyard specifically to listen for a bell. Isn't that interesting? So we don't always know when people are dead. We don't know for sure if they are dead. So I don't think people are working miracles or have some great power when they're resuscitating people. We're not dealing with that in this. But when God restored life to someone, there's no doubt the person was dead. There's just no question. God brought real dead people back from the dead. I mean, Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17, they were having the funeral for the fella. The widow's son at Nain, Jesus comes along and raises him from the dead, we're told. There's the story of Lazarus over in the book of John, chapter 11. And this is very, very wonderful story. We all know it well. Jesus was told Lazarus was very sick. He kind of waited around before coming to town. Matter of fact, waited 3 or 4 days, didn't he? Finally came to town. Mary and Martha, one of them came to Jesus, were actually mad at him because if he'd have just got here sooner, he wouldn't have died, basically. In John 11, verse 17, it says, so when Jesus came, he did come to town, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus was dead and buried, and he had been in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Lazarus is dead. Verse 43. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Sometimes we're reading their Bible, we just read right over that. But this is a magnificent, wonderful thing here. I mean, think about what's happening here. This man is dead. He's been in the grave 4 days. He's bound in the cloth. Even his face is wrapped up. Jesus comes along and says, Lazarus, come forth. And just like that. I mean, just as simple as turning the water fountain on and water comes out. Just that easy. That's how powerful God is. That's how powerful Jesus is. He just says to the dead, come forth, and they come forth. Look up here at verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's what they saw that day, the glory of God. What a mighty and glorious thing that the dead came back to life. You know, the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 is really addressing these people who wanted to deny the resurrection. And Paul approaches these people from several different arguments. First of all, he argues that if you deny the resurrection, you have to deny the resurrection of Christ. You deny the resurrection of saints or future saints, you have to deny the resurrection of Christ because you're denying the resurrection. And now you've took away the entire basis of the gospel. That's the first few verses. And then he goes on to say, if Christ is not risen, then, or if there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. Verse 13. And all through here he's arguing about the resurrection. And then in verse 35 he says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body did they come? Here's why a lot of people were denying the resurrection. They just didn't understand how it could happen. I talked to a fellow years ago and he opposed cremation. He thought it was a sin if you allowed yourself to be cremated when you died. And I asked him why he felt that way. Why? How come? I mean, the body, the Bible said, is going to return to dust anyway. It's just kind of speeding up the process. That's all it is. Here's what the man told me. I kid you not. He said, aren't you hoping for the resurrection? Now, how are you going to be resurrected if you cremate and annihilate your body? Now, you think about that for a moment. Just think about that. I mean, there are some Old Testament saints who've been dead, or there are some Christians who have been dead for going on 2,000 years now. I think they're probably a fine dust. I mean, it's amazing to me that an individual can believe that God can make the first man out of different pieces of dirt and dust and create the first man, but that this same God wouldn't have the power to put a man back together. I don't understand all the intricacies of the resurrection, but I don't have to understand it to believe it, do I? I mean, I don't understand how electricity works, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do. We don't have to understand it, but we know that it's true because there it is. God says so. And here it is. Matthew says so. These saints come out of the grave and they appear in the city. There it is. Jesus rises from the dead. And I love the illustration Paul gives here. He says, foolish one, verse 30. That's so foolish. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. I love this argument here because, let me tell you something. You take a watermelon seed, and I use watermelon because we ate a lot of them growing up. I love that. But you take a watermelon seed, it's just a little flat black seed, isn't it? And you put it in the ground. What do you end up with? A big old watermelon full of all kinds of good stuff. Now here's the question. Where'd all that stuff come from? Ever think about that? All that stuff inside that watermelon, where'd that come from? A little black seed? Do you understand that? Do you understand how that happens? Nobody does. That's Paul's point here. But yet you see it happening every day. You plant a seed, you get a tree, you get fruit. I don't understand that, but I know it happens. You're going to deny that that happens? That's Paul's argument here. You see, when you say, I don't understand how it happens, you're denying the power of God to do it. And the resurrection shows the power of God. Jesus' resurrection did. Back in the book of Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4. Paul said there, and declared, talking about Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power, see that? According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. So when we think about the rising of dead saints, we've considered God's purpose, but we have to see God's power. Number 3. We do read about saints being resurrected from the grave. We can't help but to remember God's promise. Can we? One man stated, "This opening of the graves was designed both to adorn the resurrection of Christ and to give a specimen of our resurrection, which also is in virtue of His." You see, our future resurrection relies upon the resurrection of Christ. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sin. That is, our resurrection to life is dependent upon Christ. Go back to 1 Corinthians. If you're still in 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verses 20 to 22. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Now there's the promise. Don't miss that. That second statement. Christ is risen from the dead. And here's the promise. He has become the first fruits of all of those who have fallen asleep, others who have died. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. That's the promise. Christ rose from the dead. Therefore, we get to rise from the dead. Remember John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. So many verses we could go to look at this promise. We'll read this one, John 5, 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life." That is a promise. If you've done good, if you've obeyed God, you are going to rise up from the grave to the resurrection of life. It's wonderful to me. I mean, it's a horrible thought when you go to a funeral and you go out there and there's that big hole in the ground. And then they put your friend or loved one down in that hole and they cover them up. And is there anyone living who has never stood there and looked in there and looked down and thought about the time when someday that'll be me being put down in that hole? Wouldn't it be awful to think that that's it? Actually, that would be more comforting than thinking that you're going to spend eternity in hell. But it's so much wonderful and so much more glorious to think God has promised that's not it. That there is the resurrection to life. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15-18, where Paul talks about that and how they will resurrect, the dead will resurrect, they'll meet with those still living and go together and meet the Lord and be with the Lord forever. And then he concludes by saying, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." Why? Because that's a wonderful, beautiful promise. John 11, 25, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though he die, he shall live." What a wonderful promise. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, where Paul says, "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul wanted to attain to that. Read through the book of Acts, and over you'll find statements about Paul being judged because he preached the hope of the resurrection from the dead. Paul often said, "That's why I'm being judged." Why did he preach that so much? Because it's the very backbone of Christianity. Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no Christianity. And without the future hope of resurrection of the saints, our hope would be futile. And who would follow it? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 18 and 19, Paul says, "Then also those who have fallen asleep or those who have died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." You see that? Without the promise of the resurrection of the dead, we're to be pitied above any man because we're following a foolish dream. But God demonstrated his promise of the resurrection to us by showing his power to accomplish it in these risen saints in Matthew 27. And most importantly, in the resurrection of Christ himself. The great God who cannot lie, Titus 1 and verse 2, has made this wonderful promise that we will be resurrected, and we will be resurrected to the resurrection of life, and we'll have eternal life. God has made that promise, and he has the power to keep that promise. There's a lot of questions that we'll never have the answer to about those two little verses in Matthew 27, 52 and 53. These dead saints who came out of the graves and walked around into the city. A lot of questions. But I think there are some lessons we can learn from that, some spiritual lessons, when we consider God's purpose. And we see God's power. Who but God can raise the dead? And most wonderful of all, perhaps, we see God's promise. Someday we will raise from the dead to the resurrection of life. This is not it. Living in these bodies of clay that are subject to pain and disease and discomfort, death. We have a promise of so much more than that. And we can see that promise as we read these two little verses that Matthew gives us about the dead saints rising up out of the tombs and walking around in the city. Let's pray.